Blog Talk Radio. welcome to another installment of the Spanish Coffee Hour. And that was, now for people that want to learn Spanish or any foreign language, one way to do it is pick out a song that you like, recording that you like, short, long, in between, and memorize the song, learn the song. That's one way of doing it. Anyway, this installment of the Spanish Coffee Hour, it's titled "Being a First Timer in Being a First Time Foreigner in Mexico." And speaking of Mexico, Carlos Santana, who formed the band Santana, we played that musical introduction. He's originally from Mexico. I think he lives in the Bay Area now. But anyway, like I say, you can, if you want to learn Spanish or French or Italian or any language that you want to learn, find some type of sound recording music that you like in that language and in the language. Anyway, Jadian Forte, hopefully I'm pronouncing that name correctly. He is our guest host this evening. Actually, he's a host this evening. I'm just engineering. He's going to be speaking about being a first-time foreigner in Mexico. Jadian, if I'm pronouncing that right, how are you this evening?
I'm good, and how about yourself?
Good, good. All right, the floor is all yours. Oh, and people, if you have any questions to ask Jadian, call 646-668-2083. That's 646-668-2083. That's the number to call in while we're doing the live stream. So getting back, I'll ask the first question. How did you, you being an American citizen, where did you start off at and what led you to Mexico?
Okay, so the first thing before I went out to Mexico, I used to live in San Diego, California. Now, one of my ex-girlfriends, she still currently has family in Mexico or in the city of Tijuana. So normally we would take weekend visits out here to Tijuana and visit her family. So pretty much I've just adapted to it a few different weekends on our visits. And I've told myself, if I can adapt to these people out here, they're funny as hell. They're clowns, just like me. I'm a goofball. I'm silly, and I'm always playing around with humor. So they're the same way, at least the people that was around me in the community. So pretty much I felt like family. So it's like if you talk shit to them, but in a joking way, they'll talk shit back to you, but not in a way that, to piss you off, but it's like in a joking manner. So I just kind of felt like, damn, that's what's up. We have the same level of humor and whatnot. So pretty much a few months later, after a few visits, I liked it down there, and I just packed up my bags and headed for the border.
Okay. Well, now, you're calling from Mexico right now, right?
Yes.
All right. So now how long have you been there? And, I mean, when you went there, did you know any Spanish and the cost of living, all
anything,
those basic type of things?
I didn't know not a teardrop of Spanish. So when I decided to move down there, I was kind of dry. So I did use Google Translate, which got me nowhere. It's an Android app or iPhone app too. It translates between multiple languages, but I really don't advise that towards anyone. For all the viewers out there, do not use that. Don't be a knucklehead like me, and at least prepare yourself to know the basics. If it's through learning through Rosetta Stone or PEMS or other resources out there, go ahead and learn those. And a lot of people ask me or tell me that, hey, I took 4 years of Spanish, but I don't really know anything. Well, like I said before, there are different resources out there, but I've honestly only been learning Spanish in the structural way for about a year. Here for about 3 years now, but like I said, again, I was a knucklehead. I felt like, you know, I'm an American boy. I got technology. I got Google Translate, and I'll play charades with everyone out here. So pretty much it didn't work. So I had to jump on my Spanish game out here, and with the help of being emerged into the society, that really helped too, though.
Okay, but now, well, that's right, because once you're immersed in it, you're there 24/7. So, I mean, once you
exactly.
decide to get serious with it, how long did it take you to you communicate well. So, how long did it take after you decided to get serious with it?
Like I said, being immersed into a society or constantly being around something, you're going to pick it up subconsciously and consciously. So a few years, like 2 years or whatnot, and I started to, you know, I wanted to actually study the language, I picked it up in several months, and pretty much I've jumped to different levels, and it was just pretty much like a refresher for me. So, and that's just because, you know, I've heard the words so many times, or the sentences and the phrases so many times repeatedly, you know, it was just a reminder or a refresher for me. And I do use Rosetta Stone for reading and writing in Spanish or Castellano. And for conversations, I use Pemzer, which is more focused on having a real conversation with a local native.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Now, what about the, because you're living there, so you went down there, so compare the cost of living there as opposed to, because I think you're from California, and any coastal city of California is not cheap from what I understand, so.
Hell no.
So,
no.
How's the cost of living where you're at?
The cost of living, I would say, I mean, and people jaws would drop after I tell them the price. I mean, pretty much to get something to a condo, similar to a condo or a one bedroom apartment, you can normally get an somewhere close to an American style apartment for about $200 a month. And like I said, again, even though people consider Mexico a third world country, but hey, you can be in a third world country and still be comfortable with your American style living, you know, so you get what you pay for. But in this case, you know, $200 American dollars will get you a really nice American style apartment. But with go ahead.
What about food? Food.
Food is food is very, very, very less expensive. Well, because like I said again, the currency is a lot different. We're in a different country. You know, the United States is said to be, you know, one of the richest countries in the world. You know, now with Mexico, you know, it's not on that level of the USA. So of course, the food is a lot different in prices. So it's a lot cheaper, and it's good as hell, man. I mean, to me, me encanta todo la comida mexicana. I mean, so I haven't been sick. So if a lot of people are wondering, I know it's a third world country, do you get sick off the food? I've never been sick a day in my life living here in Mexico as far as the food.
Okay. What about, income. Or I guess you know enough of the language to get a job down there locally if you wanted to, but for first-timers.
No, you're going. No. Depending on if you want to live in Mexico, I live right by the border of San Diego, so I still have access to, let's say, resources. But me and my profession, I'm a computer programmer, and I do a lot of online business, and I get paid in dollars, of course, because it's on the U.S. end. Now, getting a job in Mexico, if you're a U.S. citizen, I do not recommend it. The reason why is because, well, for one, the pay is extremely, extremely lower. If you can live off maybe $80 a week for a 10-hour shift, then more power to you if you want a job in Mexico, you know, because that's just how it is out here. They get paid by the day, is not by the hour. But I will tell all of the viewers out there to, if you decide to live out here, keep your American benefits. That's the whole point, or one of the biggest points of moving to, you know, a different country, is you want to feel a different experience and you want to feel a lot more rich in a certain extent. You want to live more. You want to enjoy life. So, like I said again, keep your American benefits and try to find a connection of a source of income. But working in Mexico, you're going to have to go through a shitload of paperwork because you're going to need your FM3 citizenship card or permit to work here. So if you want to work maybe $2 or less per hour, go ahead and go through the shitload of paperwork, get your FM3, which takes months to process, plus processing fees, and then some change, be my guest. But me, I do not have an FM3. And I don't need it. For one, I mean, I'm good where I'm at as far as work and my source of income.
Okay. All right. And then people these days, if you got a smartphone or laptop, you're good to get an internet connection. I guess
work
you're
online.
Good to go.
Do advertising.
Yeah, work online.
Anything online. You know, and that's where that's where business is going. Because yeah, I'm in the technology industry. As far as my profession, but that's where businesses are going. You know, they're going towards the computer, online advertising. All jobs are moving towards computer based environments. So
right,
you got to stick with technology.
Right. Now what? Now you're African American man in Mexico. Do you see an abundance of African-American men down there, or other Americans down there in abundance, or just like you're the only game in town?
Okay, so first thing first, if you're not a local native from Mexico, you're going to stand out regardless. But based on the media in the USA and from the TV that they watch in Mexico, they do see the United States as black and white. You know, they either see you as, you know, African American, or you're a gringo, a white European, or pretty much a white person of descent. So for me, I always have to point that out, because when I first came down here, they not only look at me as being an American, but a black American. And I have to take that into an effect, because, like I said, it's what the media puts on TV about us. We have profiles. We have typical profiles that they see on us. So with me, in my personal experiences, the first time I came out here, I was expecting to be called, you know, a nigger, a mayate. And I've expected the worst of the worst, you know, when I came down here, you know, and to have people look at me funny and all this and that, and, you know, black guys or this, black guys that. These are my expectations. But when I came down here, yes, the people, you have no idea. When I was walking down the street with my ex, and her family kind of lives in like a village type area, you know, away, and this is away from the tourist Americans and whatnot. So these big buses, like these big school bus looking buses, come by with like a pack of kids and people on it. And as I'm walking, they like look at me like I'm a ghost. Like, this guy's from a different planet. Like, this guy's from a different universe. Like, jaws drop, saliva dragging down the windows, And, like, first, I was mad. I was pissed. I was like, what the fuck is y'all looking at? Like, damn, I'm human just like y'all. Like, yeah, I know I'm brown, I'm chocolate, but shit, man. Like, I was pissed off because coming from the U.S., and when people look at you, especially where I grew up, you know, it's like the two-second rule. If you stare at somebody for 2 seconds, it's funk on sight. It's like, what's good? What's popping? You want that beef? What's up? So that's just the American mentality that I was coming from. But as time progressed, you know, my ex told me, hey, look, it's not nothing like that. They're looking at you like that because they've never seen your kind here before, you know? So it's just something different. Now, when it comes to the white Americans, they see a lot of that because that's in their culture as well, because they have to look at it like Mexicans is a mixed breed of, you know, indigenous, the Native Americans, and European descent. So it's not a big deal if they see, you know, white-looking people out here because they're used to that. But a black guy is very, very, very different because they don't see that. It's not as common. So this is not in the tourist areas. But when you're close by the border, you get a lot of, you know, American traffic, and not only American, but foreign traffic from different countries. I've seen Chinese people from China, you know, and people from Europe, from France, and, you know, different European countries. So you have your tourist area, but me, I'm usually always in sus pueblos, sus barrios, in the villages where you don't get none of that tourist exposure. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this, okay? Like, say the title of the podcast is "Being a First Timer in Mexico." Now, for like on the Charles Tyler Brazil show, you know, to go to Brazil, you know, you got to have a passport and you had to have a visa, you know, to get into the country coming from the U.S.
Okay.
So now, what's the deal for Americans going to Mexico?
Okay, well, before the whole Donald Trump incident, anybody, any American, any foreigner can just cross the border into Mexico by walking, no problem. But ever since that whole Donald Trump, I hate Mexicans, blah, 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 have popped off or whatnot, Baja California is the state, and Tijuana is the city. So not all of Mexico goes by this new law, but there is a new law that passed here in Tijuana. So if you want to walk across the border into Mexico, you have to have a passport, either a passport card or the booklet. But if you don't have either or, you cannot walk across the border. Now, an alternative to exploit that is to either drive across the border into Tijuana or get a ride from someone into Tijuana. So if you want to walk across, you must have a passport. But if you don't, you can get a ride or drive across in your car.
Okay. Now, in driving across the car, do you still need to show ID, even if you're a passenger?
Yes, of course. You have to identify yourself. You have to identify yourself.
Okay. No visa required.
When you're crossing into Mexico by car, no.
No visa. Visa. Because like in Brazil, you need a passport and a visa. But Mexico, you just need a passport or passport card.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
For people that are tuning in, the name of the program is Spanish Coffee Hour. Our host tonight, guest host tonight is Jadian. Am I pronouncing this right? Jadian Forte?
Yeah, or Jadian.
Okay.
Or works.
Jadian, okay, Forte. His topic is being a first-time foreigner in Mexico, and he's speaking to us from Mexico tonight. The number is 646-668-2083. We're doing a live stream. If you're interested in asking Jadian any questions, just press 1. And we've got one on the line for you right now, so let's go take this one. Area code 951. Your mic is open to ask any question.
Riverside, huh?
What's up, Jaden? You know me, man. What's up? This is Philip Bailey.
Oh, what's going on, brother?
What's on? What's up, man? Hey, what part of Mexico are you in right now? You said the Pueblo. What Pueblo?
Tijuana.
Where in Tijuana? Like, are you like by la playa, by Zona Central? Like, where you at?
I'm away from gringos. Nah, in El Florido. That's
Florida,
the name of the area.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right,
it's un barrio.
Yeah, you know what? Hey, I was over listening what you were saying. You know what? I thought I haven't been down south in a while. I thought that you needed a visa in addition to your passport. I didn't know you just needed all you needed was your passport.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Were you crossing by car or were you crossing by foot?
I wasn't crossing at all. I'm going by word of mouth and what people say, because I think at first you said it was like a visa.
No,
you said something like
said
that
passport.
Because you called it 6 months before it happened. You were like, oh yeah, this is about to happen, blah blah blah. You know what I mean? And so that's when I started looking on it and started being like, hey, you know.
Okay, so just to clear the air, a passport, either a passport card, which I have, and a passport booklet, either or works. Now the difference between the two is that if you have the booklet, you can actually travel to different cities in Mexico by airplane, just like
right.
The United States. Now, with the passport card, you cannot travel by plane legally.
Now, with that new restriction, has that affected the border and or has that affected, like, cost of living, rent? And stuff, like, since, like, have people just said to, because I heard a lot of people said, like, to hell with it, and they haven't been traveling down there as much, which is good, because that means it's less tourist traffic, you know?
Well,
right?
The way that I look at it, well, as far as living, no. But on the Mexico side, they made a shitload of money, and that was a hell of a good idea for them, because now, I mean, I think to live here, you can get it for 6 months. So you pay $20 to live here, and you get a 6 month permit if you want to cross into to Mexico and live here. Now it has affected businesses. It affected businesses in El Centro, in the downtown area, because that's where a lot of American traffic and tourists are going. So now you have all these lost people that can't cross because they don't have a passport. Do you know how much money that Mexico or that area of El Centro lost because Mexico said, hey, look, man, I hate Donald Trump, and pretty much we need to protect our end of the bargain, so you need to have a passport. Mexico has made a lot of money, but it has affected a lot of business as well within the tourist area.
They cut off their nose to spite their face.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy, man.
Exactly. But, yeah, man, well, you should hit me up. Link up, man. I got a few other brothers that came down here, man. And, man, we blew it off, man.
Yeah, you know what? I used to live down there, and I did it for so long that, like, I've been just staying away from it lately, man. But I need to get back down there because that's my old, like, good audio, you know?
I hear you, brother. Everybody got the experience. But so I mean, I hope I answered your question or whatnot.
Right, you did. Thank you, man.
So what part of Mexico though did you live in?
Me? Oh man, I was in Zona Central. I was on Calle Tercera and Calle E. Right on the corner.
Yeah,
Calle
he was over
Tercera
there by the strip, huh?
yeah. Away though, kind of by, like, you know where that the other big church is at, and the park is right across the street from that church.
Yeah.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Like on Bonita. Yeah, right there. So I live like maybe a block away from that west. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right in the heart of all the action, huh?
Yeah, man. That's my love, man. You know what I mean? I got a lot of love there, man. You know what I mean? But I just felt like, you know, my language wasn't coming along as fast as I wanted it to, you know.
No, I hear you. So I do have a question for you. Since you are, you know, an American brother. So how, besides me, I like to, you know, ask other brothers about their experiences, you know, just let them know that I know BS out here. So how have the women treated you down there? Overall, in general, what are your experiences?
Well, you know, I'm a truck driver, right? So I'm in mm-hmm. and out. You know, like one of the first things, like when I started, like, you know, really traveling, you know, I it kind of tripped me out, man. They got ass in Tijuana, like they got ass in Atlanta, man. You know, they got ass like a motherfucking Tijuana. So like that. Yeah. So that's one thing. That's one thing, because when you see like Mexican girls, your average Mexican girl, they got a square box body. They got the muffin top on the waist. They got the square booty, man. You know what I mean? Like, that's either easy or super bad.
But when you come to Mexico, what did you see?
Yeah, man, in Mexico, you're going to get lost. Like, it'll be a girl walking by, and she's so beautiful, man. You just grow wings on your back, and you just following her, like Pepe Le Pew following the smell. And then it'll be another one, and then you just be following that one. And then it'll be another one, and you'll be like, God damn, what the hell was I doing before I first started, you know? Like, it's really like that. Like, a lot of the locals say, like, you know, anybody that moved to Tijuana, you can't have a girlfriend. You can't have a girlfriend. Because there's so many girls, you just can't. You can't just narrow it down to one. And like with the women, it was cool, man. But like I said, the language barrier was like a big thing. And like one thing about Latino women, they're real genuine, so they're not gonna fake it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know, which is good. You know what I mean? They're not gonna fake it. You know. But if it's genuine, it's for real though. You know. I think one thing about down there that really pissed me off was like kind of the infrastructure. Meaning like the buildings are cool, but like you know, Jaden, like in the wintertime, they're not insulated right. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So whatever the temperature is outside, it is it's inside unless you got the heat going. You know what I mean? you know what I mean? Like, do you feel like, especially like by the playa, by the beach, they don't got no insulation. Mm-hmm. Like, God damn, that nighttime is cold, right?
Yo, well, you American brother, get air conditioner. Get you a nice box. That's easy to get.
Yeah, you know,
so let me just interrupt right quick to get some tips to the viewer. So. Like my man said, his Spanish wasn't on point, so that was kind of like a heartbreaker. But what I try to tell people, at least learn the basics. And the basics are, you know, how are you doing, you know, cómo te llamas, what is your name, and things like that. But if you don't
but,
know
but
even
that's
the basics,
not gonna get you through no relationship, Jada. I was getting pussy, but I didn't have no relationship. That ain't gonna get you no real genuine girl.
So listen. This is what you say. It might not work for everybody, but this is what I know of. Is te amo, mi amor, mi cariño, eres mi brother, mi todo del mundo. Those are more words, you know, of romance towards, you know, of a woman or a girl, you know, mi amor is my love, mi cariño, my sweetheart, you know, ven para acá, te amo mucho, it's like, I love you a lot. Those are more of the romance words, you know, but like I said, it comes in experience too, though, as well. So, like I said, I mean, hey, and the women would love to hear that, especially if that's coming from the person that they like, especially a foreigner, you know, so... Like I said, if you just, you know, get on your Spanish a little bit more, they'll fall head over heels from you. Not only because you speak in Spanish, but like I said, in my experience, a black man speaking Spanish, that is not normal and common in Mexico unless they think that it's Cubano or Dominicano, like you're from Cuba or you're from Panama or you're from the Dominican Republic.
Hey, check this out. What was your experience like in Costa Chica?
Ah, damn. You know, hold on, man. I can't give you all the tips in one session. Give me a second, man. This is the title. First-time foreigner in Mexico. Black Mexico is what I call it, is a completely different ball game. I might even have to write a book, an e-book on that. I'll go into that later. Let's take it step by step. I know you want to get all the beans, but give me a second.
Right,
all the foreigners that come
right.
to Mexico for their first time, just make sure that you have cash, because just in case, you know, you like to drink or if not, everything is dealt in cash when it comes to the police. I'm going to put y'all on game. It's like, look, when I first came out here, you know, and I hopped in a yellow cab, and I wanted to go to Rosarito because I heard of Papa's Beers. It's a famous bar and grill in Rosarito, which is close to Tijuana. And I didn't ask him the price. I was just like, take me there. I was with me and my homeboy. So we went there. It was dead. Maybe we went on a bad day. We went back to Tijuana, and I asked him, how much is it? He said $60. I'm like, God damn, that was like 15 minutes away from the border and back. That's like a 30-minute trip there and there. And then, like, after that, I felt kind of bamboozled, but in a way, I didn't want to argue because that was my first time there. I didn't know how it was out there. I didn't want to get kidnapped and blah, 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 blah. So a few days later, I asked the taxi driver, hey, how much does it cost? You know, ¿cuánto cuesta para Rosarito a Tijuana? He said like 15 bucks. I'm like, no mames, in serio, like for real? So pretty much you will try to get bamboozled, or you will pretty much get played if you're a foreigner. It's because that's how come up. You know, they look at you.
I always say
they
no
you got
on the
money.
First price. The first price they throw at me, I say no. Act like I'm walking away. They always tell me to come back every time, 100% of the time, bro.
Exactly. So for all you listeners out there, you will be looked at as an American, but an American with money. It's an assumption. Even if you have money or you don't have money, they're still going to assume, and not everybody, but a lot of people are going to assume you got money because you look like an American, and that's what they see on TV. They see beautiful things in America by the media on TV, so that's what they're going to be brainwashed with. Again, not everybody. But a good handful, especially in my
Latin people judge you on your clothes a lot. You know what I mean?
Everybody got their own different experiences, but I mean, me, I've walked into the club with some sweats and a turtleneck. No, no importa. You know, it depends on how you carry yourself too, though. So, like I said, I'm trying to stick to the topic for you first time foreigners, but always have cash on you. That's a big tip. Always have cash just in case you're a drunk and you don't know how to handle your liquor or whatever the case is. If you get in trouble with the police, have cash because you can pay them off, a lot of them, and you don't want to go to jail in TJ. So that's my biggest tip for the first time foreigners. If you guys want to party out here and whatnot, that's my biggest tip. Have cash to pay off the police.
Damn.
Otras preguntas. Dígame.
Oh, I got a question about the border, man. Listen,
okay.
When I was down there, that's when they were doing a lot of deportations. They were deporting a lot of people from America to Mexico, and it was like crazy.
Uh-huh.
It was just like new people every day. Like, I mean, they're like Mexican people that I speak more Spanish than, you know what I mean? So what I'm saying is, have those deportations continue? Or have they stayed the same or have they slowed down?
Bro, Tijuana has the fastest deportation in the Western Hemisphere. The reason why is because, for one, a lot of people from El Salvador, you know, from Central America, from, you know, Guatemala, they make that trip to try to cross the American side of the border because they want to work and they want to send money back to their families. They have their situations. And what happens is that the migras, or the immigration office, says, look, where are you from? If they say Guatemala, guess what's going to happen? They're going to get shipped back all the way to Guatemala. Now, let's say if they want to try to recross the border and try again. It's easier to say, hey, I'm from Mexico. I look like the rest of them out there, so cool. You'll just drop me off in TJ, and I'm close to the border, so I'll just make a retempt. I'll reattempt it.
Right.
So pretty much that's what happens. Yeah, they have the biggest deportation in TJ because it's right next to the border, San Diego border. So, you know, a lot of people from Central America say, "Hey, I'm from Mexico." because they don't want to get sent back to El Salvador or their freaking country because it's a lot poorer and a lot more violence and stuff like that is going on. So it's easier to just blend in with, you know, Los Mexicanos, with the Mexicans here in Mexico, and retry to cross that border. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Otras preguntas.
Oh.
Other questions, brother? Let me know. You want to know about Black Mexico? Now, that's another chapter. That's a deep chapter. Well, yeah,
so,
like I said, I'm
how long did it take you to get down to Costa Chica, man? How long did it take you? And what means did you take? Did you fly or did you drive?
Okay, so for the listeners, when I refer to Black Mexico, that I'm referring to the most African descent blood in Mexico. Just to let you guys know, Afro blood does exist in Mexico. I've seen it in person, first-hand experience. So for your question, I flew down there. The big city is called Acapulco. Acapulco, I did my research on it, you know, and just a quick little history. Back in time, the African slave ship was brought to the port of Acapulco with the African slaves, you know, with the Spaniards. So that's why there's a lot of Afro blood in that area. But the state is called Guerrero. Guerrero makes up 39% of Afro blood within that state of Guerrero. So Acapulco has a lot of Afro blood down there with the indigenous people too as well. So it took about 5 hours on plane to get down there in Acapulco. Now La Costa Chica is maybe 2 hours from 2 hours south from Acapulco. And La Costa Chica.
Quick question. Uh-huh. Now, have you ever been to the Tijuana airport, and is it safe to fly from?
Is it the what?
I said, have you ever been to the Tijuana airport, and is it safe to fly from?
No. Yeah, I've been to the Tijuana airport. Yeah, because I flew to different states in Mexico.
And it's not raggedy or nothing, right?
Nah, it's just like Southwest, you know, and United States airplanes. Like, nah, it's legit. It's cool out there. So
yeah, because I get a lot of international flights, and when I get international flights, I mean, like, everyone knows it's no secret. It's just better to get your flight from another country. You know what I mean? You just get a way better rate. You know.
Hmm. Yeah, well, like I said again, it's cheaper, but not too expensive because, like I said, it's an airline. You know, just like Southwest. So. You know, it's like, look, it's going to get you here to there. So there's no really big difference on prices. Just because it's in a different country don't mean it's super cheaper. No, it's you're going to get from point A to point B in the same method of flying.
Well, maybe not TJ. If you ever plan on going to Brazil, this little thing they work out, they order a ticket from Colombia, you know.
I plan to visit a lot of Spanish colonized Afro blood areas. You know, I'm more of a expeditionist. You know, I wouldn't say a conquistador like Hernan Cortes, which was the great Spaniard that conquered Mexico. But I like to kind of explore and know the hidden history behind the doors. You know, that's why I'm trying to, you know. Bring the Afros in Mexico to light. You know, I'm trying to give them exposure because they exist out there. That's pretty much it. You know, I'm trying to bring them on the same level as we know. You know, European Mexicans exist and the Native American Mexicans exist, but people don't know that the Afro Mexicans exist. So I'm just trying to give them some exposure.
I saw a documentary on them and they were saying that there was a lot of oppression coming their way. You know what I mean? They up under the gun just down there, just like we up under the gun up here. You know, from the documentary I saw.
Well, the documentary, I don't know how long ago that was published, but I've just came back from Black Mexico on December 1st. December, that was about a month ago. I was just out there and. they loved the hell out of each other. I didn't really see no oppression. And honestly, like I said, I'm not really trying to go in to in depth with Black Mexico right now, but the love I got there, it was beyond heaven.
Man. Do they got love for us though? They got love for brothers from up here though?
Listen, did you not just hear me?
Well, they got love for you, but that's you, bro. You gonna get in? You're an international player. So you gonna get in anywhere? You know what I mean? I mean, just in general, are they like inquisitive about like our plight up here or what we doing up here like that? Is it like love like that?
It's love to the extent where they treat you like human beings. I'll put it like that. You know, because the way that they grew up in their customs, traditions, and their culture, they treat people like human beings. That's all I have to say. Now, depending on how you carry yourself, that's different. You can be a buffoon and act like a fucking nut, and then that's something different. But
right.
If you just carry yourself with respect, I mean, as you've seen my videos on YouTube, I mean, you'll just get certain types of attention depending on how you carry yourself. You want to know about Black Mexico? Woo, that's another experience. But keeping it relevant to the topic again, for the first time, foreigners out there, y'all want to come to Mexico? It's beautiful to party. It's beautiful to explore the culture, learn the language. The people really don't discriminate out here. That to an extent, they look at you as American because you are American. And some assume you have a lot of money because that's what they see on TV, just because that's how the media looks at it. So, like I said, if people say, hey, man, it's got a lot of drugs out there, narcotraficantes, o Guzman, y a la verga. No importa, you got your drugs everywhere. You have your drug traffickers in all kinds of different states and whatnot, but you gotta stop listening to the media, man. Like, once you escape the media and the television and what they portray different countries, go see it for yourself. Like, it's good to look at reviews, but me, I get it firsthand experience. You know, I've been out here for 2 years. I'm within the villages, so I'm gonna give you the bads and the goods. You know, yeah, like I said, they look at me. And they probably think I got, oh, he's American, he got money, blah, 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 blah. They might try to run up on me or whatnot. But you just got to know how to handle yourself and try to control the situation, you know. So, yeah, come to Mexico, first-time foreigners. come party. Hey, everything's cheaper. Alcohol is cheaper, you know. And pretty much, like I said, just carry a
good
amount of cash.
Don't buy any cigarettes there.
Huh?
I said, don't buy any cigarettes there.
Yeah, well, I've never heard nothing like that. But you buy a bucket of beer in certain places in downtown.
Have you ever smoked a Mexican cigarette?
Nah, I'm not. I haven't. They're in. I don't even know what a Mexico cigarette is because they have the U.S. branded cigarettes out here. So I have no idea.
They still taste like garbage. They taste like garbage, man.
Oh, well, I wouldn't
so never,
I would
tell them I never buy no cigarettes.
Yeah. Mm, okay.
You know, like, everything
well,
tastes different. Like the Corona, like even the Corona down in Mexico, it's got more of a, like a little dry aftertaste than like the Corona here. You know, it's got, and the Pacifico as well, you know, and the Tecate.
Look like you got your experiences then, huh?
Yeah, I used to live there too, bro. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's who we can learn from each other. But based on my experiences, people say that Mexico is cheaper, and in certain aspects it is. So, the beer in certain places are cheaper. For example, you can get a bucket of beer, a bucket of Tecate, maybe I think it's six or nine beers for like $8. I don't know if that's expensive to people or if that's cheap, but to me that's hella cheap. Like $7 for a whole bucket of beer, which is like either 6 to 9 beers you get for like $7 or $8. I mean, and people are spending like hundreds of dollars, you know, when they're touring in the tourist spots of in Tijuana. So as far as the violence goes and the drugs and whatnot, a lot of people are scared in the U.S. So for all you listeners out there, I know you guys are, you know, fearing, or you guys have that, you know, one eye open. Hey, well, I heard this, I heard that, and I heard they cut people necks off and stab you, put you in body bags, and blah, 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 blah. Honestly, I'm going to tell y'all the real. I think only if you're a narcotraficante, if you have something to do with drugs, if you're moving drugs, you're pushing drugs, and you're in the drug game, then yes, you will be targeted. But if you are not affiliated with drugs or anything towards that, then you don't got nothing to worry about, because that's their own little world. That's their own drug world. But they don't go after normal citizens like, oh, who's that guy? Oh, or who's that guy? I just some random chick or guy. Let's go fuck with him. Nah, they don't do that. Only if you take part in a drug war, then yeah, logically speaking, I will assume they'll come fuck with you. If you messing with their business, that's different. But other than that, like I said, again, I haven't been messed with like that. And yeah, everything's been okay. Just carry yourself in a respectable way, you know, for your first time comers out here. And like I said, if you're an alcoholic, you like to drink, just bring cash with you. You can talk your way out of it with the police. The police don't know English, but just say, hey, look, I got money. How much do you want? And pretty much that's it. No pasa nada. Nothing ever happened. You can pay off a lot of the police with just cash, because you're not in their system and you're not a citizen in their country. So it's easier and a lot better paying them off with cash if you act like a buffoon. And you know you act like a buffoon. Sale.
But if you
got questions, let me know, man. Let me know. Hit that one button, man. Go ahead.
Okay, I think you got another caller, JD. And let's go to get somebody on Skype or online. 111, your mic is open.
This is Sean. Is it? Jadian?
What's going on, Big Sean?
Oh, hey, what's up, man? What's up? I wanted to call in just to, you know, put a little input, and I got some more information, too, on you guys mentioned the border and everything like that. I got some, you know, information that happened to me at the border, so, you know, definitely, you know, everybody need to know, you know, what you need to go back and forth.
Now, before you start, you know, don't mind me interrupting you. So, Sean, he just came down here on Friday? I gave him the tour. You know, we went out, you know, and I showed him around. So he's going to give you his personal experience. But he was just down here with me as of Friday. So go ahead and take the floor.
Yeah, I basically was just like, you know, because I'm only right here in L.A., and I was just like, man, I've been talking to Jadian for a long time, and you know, I know he's, you know, making it work out there and having a lot of fun. So I was like, you know, fuck it, I'm just going to go down. And so I went down for the weekend and everything, you know. And, yeah, he showed me around. You know, we partied and everything. It was a good time, man. It was, you know, I needed to get away, you know. And so, yeah, it was a good time. I really can't, you know, say nothing else, you know, if, you know, specific. If you want that, you know, we go into that. But other than that, yeah. Out of Paul, you know, he did a good job showing me around and, you know, giving me the experience down there in Mexico.
Now, what about the women down there? How did they treat you just in general?
It was cool, man. You know, we had a lot of fun. And like I said, well, the thing is, you know, when you're black down there, it's like, you know, I mean, I have it, well, I don't know. I mean, when you see women look at you and their jaws drop, you almost just like what just happened? Like that right there is an experience all its own. When somebody look at you and their jaws drop, and you know, and especially when it's like, you know, when you know it's like out of curiosity or oh my god, like that. I could do nothing but laugh. I mean, you know, you remember me telling you sometimes I'd see it happen, you weren't even looking.
Exactly.
Shit, I'm leaving LA, I'm leaving the freaking center of the Matrix, and, you know, man, I tell you what, it was like crossing, it was like onto another planet, you know.
Now, the people, like I told the viewers out there before, when you, because you cross over in your car, so how was the experience when you crossed over by car? Did they mess with you? Did they ask for anything, or how was that?
Okay, yeah, and just to get that out the way, you know, going down there, yeah, I mean, I just shot right down there, you know, because I was always, like, asking you a million questions, like, oh, you, how do you think it'll be? Is it okay and everything? And so, yeah, going down there, no problem. And it's like, the thing is when I was coming back, I was, I thought I was going to go right back through there, but I was stopped, and he did let me know that I do have to have a pass given by...
Hello.
Yeah,
the
line's really bad static.
Okay, so we got the part when you were coming back to the U.S., and this is on the U.S. end, so the U.S. police or the services from the U.S. side, what did they tell you?
When I was going back across, I gave him my ID, my California ID, my, you know, driver's license, and he's like, oh, are you aware that you have to have a passport? And I was like, no, I wasn't. And I was like, you know, it's a lot of information, you know, different information's out. You know, what's that? Well, it seems like sometimes, you know, stuff will change and who's to know about these laws? I mean, that's how laws are. They change all the time. And, you know, I told him, I was like, you know, I was under assumption if I had just my ID and my birth certificate, you know, I could go back across. He's like, no, you actually need a passport, you know. And, he tried to, I really don't want to say anything negative, but he kind of tried to be like a dick, like, oh, you know, I can tow your car, blah, blah, blah. And, I mean, I'm just a cool guy. I was like, hey, you know, no need for all that. You know, I didn't know. You know, I was just so funny. I did. And I was like, hey, we were all pretty. And that was that. And he's like, okay, you know, and that was it. And I, you know, went back over. He let me over and everything. But, yeah, he did say, you know, you need a passport, you know, to come back. And I guess that's just basically where the state of, you know, with America and everything, like, you know, and the borders, you know, at this point, you know, so much going on. I don't know, you know, but that's basically what he told me, is that I do need a passport to get back in.
And that's on the U.S. That's on the U.S. end. They can be dicks if they want to. They kind of play pick and choose. If they want to pick on you.
That's pretty much it. That's how I felt. And, you know, I know, you know, I got family members that travel a lot often, too, and they kind of said that they were kind of worried about that with me, is because they have experienced people that are nice, and then you got, you know, some people that, you know, just try to be an asshole. And that's pretty much kind of how it was. I mean, because the guy, I mean, clearly, you know, I'm American, everything like that. And he was just kind of, you know, seemed like he wanted to just flex his little power or whatever. But, you know, once again, like I said, I'm just a cool guy. And I'm like, hey, whatever, man, you know, do whatever you got to do and blah, blah, blah. You know, here's my stuff. And it went well. And I got back over and that was it, you know.
Jaden, you there?
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I'm just listening.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, other than that, which, you know, hey, you know, because most people have passports, where I tried to go down there without it and see if it worked, whatever, and I mean, that's taking a chance, and that's all on me, but either way, it went well, you know, I got back, and so, you know, and that was it, you know.
Now, let me ask you a question, just, you know, for the curiosity of the viewers. Now, when I took you away from the tourist areas, you know, the non-American areas, when I took you by where I lived and I, you know, took you around my neighborhood, you know, to one of my friend's mom's house in that neighborhood, was there a big difference that you noticed, you know, from how the Americans live and the materialistic things versus that community? Or how did you feel? Like, what kind of experiences did you have?
Well, you know how I felt. know, but hey, you know, that's how they live. And yeah, it's different. You know, they're out there. You know, it's a different country. It's not America, you know, and that's just all it is, you know. The people are still good, you know, even if it's, you know, they're, you know, they don't have much money and it's third world or whatever. You know, it's still good people and stuff. And yeah, it's, you know, how some of the things are done, you know, are, you know, not like America, obviously. But yeah, I mean, I saw some crazy stuff that I was just like, oh my God, wow, you know, but.
Wasn't
you know,
ready for that, huh? I wasn't expecting
no,
that,
you
huh?
Know. But yeah, man.
And another tip for you viewers out there. Oh, and just to tell you, Sean, I squashed the beef with my neighbor. Whatever it's not a big deal no more. So for you viewers out there, when you start to interact with a different culture, like I said, Mexico is a complete different culture, and you have to take in consideration. You know, the Mexican Americans are completely different from Mexicanos, the natives that was born and raised in Mexico. Because at the end of the day, Mexican Americans are still influenced by American culture; they're still considered American. So when you come out here, different mentalities apply. So they take things a lot differently. So you have to know how to adjust. If you don't like something, they like it, or if they don't like something that you did or whatnot, they might throw a bitch fit or whatnot. You just have to know how to calm down or learn how to adjust to certain things. Like I said again, you're in a complete different culture, so you have to learn how to adapt to the culture in different countries as well. And I say that
yeah.
just because, you know, I ran into a certain amount of, you know, different things out here. Some things that I don't fucking like in Mexico because, you know, I grew up American, and there's a lot of things that, of course, Mexicanos don't like about America. You know, they tell me that shit all the time. I give you a bullet list that they don't like about America, but it's a vice versa. It's all about learning how to deal with, you know, certain things and what things you can handle when it comes to the culture, culturally.
That's one thing, too. Like, I mean, you saw I am, even we had that little, you know, issue. I just try to be open-minded and, you know, I mean, you know, I just try to, because it's, you know, people are different, everything, and I just try to just kind of be more passive, you know, because,
yeah,
know. You know, and so that's kind of just how I try to handle it, you know. And,
be the bigger person, I feel you.
I don't want to be in Tijuana jail either.
Exactly. That right there would calm a lot of people down. Nobody want to see behind those bars of TJ. Nobody. Not
cool
even the D-Port.
I'm cool.
Exactly.
So, but yeah,
oh,
man,
yeah.
It was a good time and shit. And hey, you know, no complaints.
Yeah, so a lot of people would ask them, is it racist out there? So did you experience any kind of racism? Because those are a lot of comments that I get from people. Hey, Mexicans are racist. And just because a lot of Americans have bad experiences with some, you know, Mexicans from America, it's not the same as the people down here that's actually born and raised in Mexico. It's a complete different ball game. So did you experience any kind of racism or whatnot by the people out here?
Well, that's a interesting question. I believe we commented on that in the video that we had, but I kind of wanted to elaborate on one little thing that I was thinking about later. First and foremost, for your question, no, I did not experience any kind of racism at all. And
mm-hmm.
you know, once like you know, being a black man, you kind of like. You expect it. You watch out for it.
Exactly.
The shit seems to always come your way. And so, you know, with that said, it's like, dude, I just didn't experience any of that. And so, you know, that said, it's funny because, you know, and I know you know because you were there, but remember one night we were out and, you know, we're out partying, having fun on our way to the next club and everything like that. And we did have some words exchanged with one of the guys and he, you know, kind of didn't want to let it go. And we kind of walked off. And what I thought.
Yeah. But see, okay, let me touch on that.
Well, no, can I finish?
Go ahead.
One thing I've noticed of that situation, because remember, I walked off, we were just laughing and everything, but what I noticed that was funny is he had come from America, you know, and so, and uh-huh. I kind of like noticed that, like, it's crazy that you come all the way down here and you don't get into it with nobody, but it's the only person you might have some words with or something like that happened to be a Mexican, you know, American. From American, adulterated by America, and, you know, and indoctrinated by America, I mean, and you get into it with somebody like that down there, and I thought that was funny out of, you know, the whole experience. Somebody that's from, that's been indoctrinated by America down there that, you know, wanted to, you know, try to kind of, you know, that's it.
Exactly. And like I said, I tell everybody, because like I said, I got a lot of Chicano homies, you know, a lot of Mexican-American, you know, homies. I don't discriminate between none of that. But what I tell people is that it's the American culture. You need to leave that mentality on the other side of the border before you enter Mexico. Like, people are coming to Mexico not to deal with stuff like that, you know, and depending on, you know, where you was raised. Cause I guess he was from I think he's like Crenshaw, L.A. So, you know, you can expect almost, you know, Crenshaw, L.A., what are the first things you think about when you hear that? Gangbangers, bloods. So,
yeah.
And that's the kind of man, the mentality that he carried. But
yeah.
Everybody's not like that, but those are the type of things that we deal with. So he looked at us as black guys. So
yeah.
You know, there's black guys in Crenshaw, Crips, and Bloods. So he wanted to, you know, try to jump off like that. Like,
come on, man.
You got your girl with you, like, entertain your girl, man. You got your homie trying to count. I'm like, look, man, no pasa nada. Somos hermanos, somos hermanitos. Like, damn, we your dope out here. We ain't on that gangbanging shit.
I just thought that was funny because, like, it kind of goes back to that indoctrination and whatever goes on in America, you know, that everybody we met that hasn't touched America down there, you know, looking at us like we're freaking movie stars or whatever. It's that one person that's been in America and everything like that, you know, had an issue and wanted to, like, you know, and I just thought that was funny, you know, because it kind of like, you know, I had left the Matrix and I'm looking at it like that, and it's like the only thing that happened, you know, was somebody that
was that situation.
Yeah, and that I just thought that was funny, you know.
Yeah, so... Like I'm telling everyone out there, you know, is that America has influenced all of us Americans a certain way. But when we go
yeah.
to a different country, we have to leave that American mentality on the other side of the border of the United States, because those rules does not apply to Mexico, you know, at all. And I learned the hard way. So get that from me. You know, I have my time and experiences out here. But like I said again, We're all out here, you know, for different, you know, reasons and whatnot. But if you want to bring, you know, that kind of drama or bad experiences like that, leave it on the other side of the border. And you want to resume it when you cross back to the United States and then continue that problem. But when you out here in Mexico, like, you're here to have a good time and enjoy something different. Pretty much that's it.
Yeah, and, you know, that is true, and we did. I just kind of wanted to throw that out there, but... Overall, I mean, that didn't affect my trip at all. I had a great trip. You know, I just thought that was funny, you know, especially when, you know, we're, you know, basically brothers that are looking for other options, you know, besides, you know, what's going on here in America and everything like that. And so, you know, I just kind of want to throw it in there. But other than that, you know, freaking, you know, people, how women lit up, you know, especially when you, you know, speak Spanish, everything. When you speak Spanish, oh, my God, you own that place. You know, and I just watch people, just women light up. I mean, I watch women light up when you start talking, you know, and dude, that it's crazy, you know, and, you know, when you in the culture and you can speak it and when you dance, oh, my God, man, you just own the place, you know. Like, I watched it firsthand, you know.
Yeah, and like I said before, you know, I try to be as humble as possible, but, you know, I don't want to try to make people think that I'm BSing, but it's like, I wish they had my pair of eyes. I wish they were here with me every moment that I live down here, that I can show them up front. But it's like, it depends how you carry yourself. That's pretty much it. And a lot of people, you know, ask me, well, what about the Afro sisters in Mexico? I'm like, look, I can't discriminate when it comes to colors in Mexico, because I've I've been shown love by all colors of the spectrum of you know, the European-looking Mexicans, the Italian-looking Mexicans, you know, and the morenas, you know, the chocolate sisters. And like I said, when it comes to colors out here, I can't discriminate, you know, because I've been shown love by all different colors, you know. And I've been to a lot of different states out here in Mexico as a brother, you know, just to kind of see how different they'll treat me. You know, I've been to Sinaloa, you know, Culiacán, Acapulco, Guerrero, Oaxaca, Jalisco. All those different lugares. I've been to a lot of different states, you know, with different colors of, you know, of Mexicans. And they have a strong curiosity. Hate to put it out there, but, hey, you got to get it. People got to get over it. It is what it is. But, like I said, they do have a strong curiosity. When the black man is speaking Spanish, it's strange to them. And like I said, people will either think you, because people thought him, though, Sean, he was either Cuban or he was Dominican, or, you know, he was from Panama, because they know that those countries have, you know, primary black people that primarily speak Spanish, you know, eres cubano, Puerto Ricano, or algo. So,
yeah.
And they're shocked by it, just by hearing you speak Spanish, especially is different from speaking Spanish or speaking their slang of Spanish. So that's what's kind of different with me. I've adapted to their slang of Spanish versus just, you know, Spanish.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't even speak Spanish. I mean, it was crazy. I didn't speak it. I mean, they were so warm and trying to communicate with me, even though I didn't speak it, you know, and guys, you know, sitting around just, you know, trying to explain to me, like, how they don't care about color and stuff. And it's all
exactly
about art. And it was really warm, you know, and that's just it. You know, I don't want to hold you guys line up, but yeah, I'll just say, you know, it's cool, man. Honestly, I wish I knew more Spanish, and I, you know, would like to just advise anybody that wants to do it. The more Spanish you learn, the better experience, you know, you definitely will have. But, yeah, man, it's a cool place. You know, like I said, I had fun, and I didn't even know any.
He could have got, he muted himself. Well, we're going overtime, Jaden. That's a good thing.
Oh, my bad. I guess, you know, like I said, he
No problem. That's a good thing. I just let you guys flow and add it on more time when I could. Well, look, if we got about 14 minutes left here, so if you got a question to ask or some type of thing you want to share, just press 1. If you're already in the studio, which we do have some people, and we got an open couple open lines like right now, so just press 1. And matter of fact, here we go. 929 area code. Your mic is open. 929, mic is open.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. We can hear you.
I have a question for Jadian. I think that's his name.
Yeah.
How was the Mexican media over there? Was it like, you know, mostly telenovelas or something like that? Like, you know, what did they mostly show? Like, you know, soccer? Because I noticed that a lot of the people there usually work too much, like 12 to 14 hours a day. And so,
Are you referring to the economy on how they work system?
No,
work?
No, the whole country as a whole. The whole country as a whole.
Damn,
like,
no, I mean that's a very general question. I mean, I have a lot of info on all of that, but I mean, as far as their work, so they don't work by the hour, they work by the day, and they're paid weekly. So their hours that they work that I'm aware of is 10 hours. Or more a day in certain compañías, in certain companies, but in factories, you know, for example, making parts or whatnot, because there's a lot of American factories here, like Philips, Samsung, in different American factories. So they usually work 10-hour shifts a day. And I've done the breakdown. They usually get maybe 100 pesos for a día, like 100 pesos for a day. And that breaks down to the American dollar, maybe like $7 to $8 a day. Now, if you divide that and do the math, it's almost less than a dollar an hour. But they're happy with it. Ellos son felices, no importa.
Yeah, it's just I noticed that a lot of the people there are still happy, even though, you know, here in
exactly.
America, you know, you work here and, you know, you're sad. You feel like shit, you know. He's like, oh, I got to work for, you know, 7 hours. I feel like shit.
Exactly.
But over there, yeah, over there's different. It's like, over there's like happy. It's like they're brainwashed to, you know, to do what they got to do. It's like, it's like, you know, you're not getting killed. That's how it is or whatever, you know. Because over there, yeah, I've noticed that. You know, poor, especially in most poor countries. Like, I remember this documentary from Muhammad Ali when he traveled to Africa.
Uh-huh.
He was saying that when he traveled to the Zaire during his fight with George Foreman, he's noticed that a lot of the local people there, they're happy, even though they have nothing. And it tells you something
exactly.
Like, you know, it's like over here in America, you're very spoiled. You want more money.
And I'm
going to
tell you why. And what I blame, I don't blame the people in America. I blame the system. I blame the system and the creator of the system of the United States of America. Yes, we grew up in America, but things that they taught us, you know, it's a program that we go by. We have to work in order to live. You know, we go to our 8-hour, you know, shift, you know, because we have to pay bills. We have
yeah.
to, you know, we work to live. But down here, it's like they work and they enjoy their life. Yeah, it's not as much money as the United States, but to them down here, it's like we'd rather be happy than to have $1 million. I mean, that's just how the culture is down here. It doesn't take much to make them happy because they're not based on money. You know,
yeah.
just like the United States is. It's materialistic items that
yeah,
that
capitalism.
We have to be raised by. We have to have this. We have to have that. We have to have this and not to be embarrassed. We have to have this particular type of car versus a bucket Toyota. We don't want to be laughed at rolling to a club, you know, in some ugly, you know, Corolla versus,
exactly.
you know, a Mercedes-Benz. So we're
mm-hmm.
raised and we're trained to think like that. And what happens is that we want those things, so we go to the companies and we buy those things.
That's how the
American system plays. It's how the American system raised us. That's all it is. It's a different program. Out here, yes, they work their asses off. They'll scrub the shit out of, you know, bathrooms and whatever. But at the end of the day, they have their little $10 that they work for, go back home to their family and, you know, compra las cervezas and beer and party that shit up.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's like a culture shock over there if you go over there. Like
exactly.
You know, you feel like a tingling sensation inside of you, like holy shit. It's like, you know, a little high in you.
Uh huh.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I don't know. I've been to Central American countries, which is similar, but it's like you know, more worse because there's much violence over there.
¿Hablas español también o no?
I've been to Honduras, man. That place is like 10 times worse than Mexico due to the fact that that's one of the highest, you know, murder rates and, you know, it has like one of the highest murder rates. It's crazy.
Do you speak Spanish?
Yeah, I speak Spanish. I mean, somewhat. It's just that, you know, I speak Spanish. It's just that I feel, you know, I feel a little weird speaking it because I'm not used to it, but I do speak Spanish. Yo soy un poquito.
Está bien. Entonces, naciste en Estados Unidos, ¿verdad?
Sí. So, you know, even by talking to you in Spanish, I feel more comfortable.
¿Mande?
You feel more
comfortable speaking in Spanish or no?
Yeah, like, I feel a little more comfortable because you sound like, you know.
Hablo conmigo en español porque yo prefiero en español, pero tengo muchas personas hablan en inglés. Entonces, por eso, necesito hablar en inglés.
Yeah, I live in New York,
español.
Man.
Ah, sí, está bien. No pasa nada, pues habla conmigo en español, pues. Y
de por sí, de por sí, güey. No, pues todo aquí, señor. Yo vivo aquí en Nueva York. Y tú
okay.
sabes que en Nueva York hay mucha gente.
Sí.
Sí, y toda la gente aquí nada más lo que le gusta es trabajar y ganar mucho, mucho dinero. Como todos los países.
Okay. Ajá.
Y bueno, no es nada malo, no es nada bueno, pero cuando tú lo haces por mucho tiempo, te pones muy aburrido uh-huh. y toda la gente te juzga porque no tienes mucho dinero. Y bueno, es como...
Claro.
You just said it right now. Tú lo dijiste, es el sistema. Pero
uh-huh.
es lo que tenemos que hacer para ganar nuestro billete. Pero
Sí, yo lo sé, pero es pura las cosas, personas si quieren. Es puro dólares, no mames, no importa, pero es solamente de Estados Unidos, ellos son ricos, pero en diferentes países como México, ay, no importa si tiene dinero, sin dinero o algo, pero estoy hablando con la gente, son felices y sus corazones son ricos y sí.
Bueno,
más, no.
Bueno, JD,
Monday?
I'm going to have
yeah.
to let you go because my cell phone is about to die. Yeah, like the batteries.
Bien, pues.
I'm going to listen to you in Blog Talk Radio. I have like a laptop with me.
Nah, so I'll just see you. Tienes Facebook?
Yeah, I'll add you on Facebook, man.
Ah,
what's
okay.
Your,
entonces,
yeah. JD,
¿cómo te llama? Sí, es mío.
Me llamo John.
John qué?
John Garcia.
Ah,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, my name is, my first name is anglicized.
Ah, si está bien, pues sí, enviarme una mensaje.
All right,
pues.
Man, I'll see you.
Más a rato.
I can't hear you.
Así, arre. Arre, pues. Hello?
No, he dropped off. Well,
no,
it's all good. A good run here. We got about 4 minutes left, so you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, so pretty much, I'm about to give me like 4 minutes. I'm like, oh, cool. So anyway, all right, yeah, so pretty much, you know, if callers out there, y'all speak Spanish too, you know, if you guys feel more comfortable speaking in Spanish, man, habla conmigo. Speak to me in Spanish because I actually prefer to speak in Spanish. I actually like to speak in Spanish more than English. So if you viewers out there, you guys like to speak in Spanish and you guys are more comfortable, then speak to me in Spanish and I'll translate it, or you can explain it in English después or after. So I have my YouTube channel. You can look on my YouTube videos. You can just type in you can just search for, you know, Black Man in Mexico. And, of course, I'm a black guy, and most likely I'm, like, in the top 5 or maybe the top 3. So you can't miss me. Name is Jadeon Forte, and I have my Facebook links in almost all my videos as well. So you can send me un solicitud in Facebook y búscame, pues. But, yeah, so don't be scared to speak in Spanish with me, you know, because like I said, hey, I just want to make you feel comfortable, whatever. Ni modo. And yeah, so like I said, man, I'm welcoming all people, and like I said, I love all colors out here. You know, I can't discriminate. You know, a lot of people tell me, hey, do you like, you know, this color more, this type of Mexican more, that type of Mexican? I'm like, honestly, no, I can't. I'm sorry, even if I was forced to, I can't, because I've been shown love by all colors. You know, güeras, morenas, you know, chocolate, you know, different. Typical Mexicans, you know, Italian Mexicans out here, you know, the vanilla Mexicans, they crave fucking chocolate out here, you know, so it's kind of hard to tell a person that likes you, hey, I only date this kind or I only like this kind, and they're going to think, damn, that's fucked up, I like you, but you're racist, it's bad blood, you know, so all y'all out there, me encanta mi gente. Los chicanos, vamos conmigo, vamos al centro y para las fiestas, y ya, y'all want to come down here and party, let me know what's up. And I do tours, personal tours, so, yeah. Y pregúntame,
sure.
Si tienes preguntas, dígame pues.
All right, well, we originally scheduled an hour, and we've gone 2 hours, so it was a nice
show.
Damn,
I didn't know what was that for.
Yeah, 2 hours. So we'll be back again next Thursday evening here on Spanish Coffee Hour. I guess we can do a part two. This one, because like I said,
I'm sorry if we went off topic.
Oh
no.
Well, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. You know, we scheduled for 4 hours, but that's how the Brazil show. We started with 30 minutes, and then it went to an hour, and then it went to an hour and a half, and it went to 2 hours, and it stayed that way. So, anyway, so I add on time is I basically go with the flow of the audience. So people called in, they were asking questions, it was slow. And the less I say, the better it is. So this was, we hit a little niche with this one. So like I said, we'll be back for part two with you next week, if you're available. And next Thursday, excuse me. Yeah, next Thursday. So thank you, JD, and thank you, everybody, for calling in, listening. And you can hear the playback of this, I guess, in all the areas that you posted it, all the forums you posted it, or on Blog Talk Radio. So on that note, we are going to say have a good evening, and I'm going to go to Netflix and watch me Training Day.
Très loin.